speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
The Word of God is the Word of life, and thereby we can learn God's pattern for living and also His love for lost mankind. In John 3:16 it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. As we are to handle it correctly, study it completely, obey it to the fullest, then, my friends, by hearing and obeying the Word of life, we can purchase to ourselves all those things that pertain to life and godliness which are declared therein. Let us never forget to buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. We began a study with you last Lord's Day morning concerning pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. We have found in James 1:27 this passage that says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Faithful gospel preachers have often emphasized that in religion, we need to go back to the Bible for all that we teach and practice, that we need to be the church of the New Testament and have those things of worship, organization, as well as obedience that are found in that first century church. You see, my friends, the apostles guided that church. Indeed, they were inspired of God. They had the keys of the kingdom. No one today has any additional thought that is worthwhile in the sight of God to that which these men had. But we note the strong Bible accent on doctrine. By those things that are taught in the doctrine of Christ, we must not fail to live up to those things. In 2 John 9:11, he said, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not invite him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. It's a shame, then, that some men today, even in the pulpits of our land, and those who may have high degrees of learning from denominational theological seminaries, are still trying to change the church of our Lord to a denomination. They're saying all churches are denominations. But no, that's not true. When we go back to the Bible and restore New Testament Christianity, then we have the pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father. We learned last Lord's Day that false religion will not do, that Cain and Abel show that in the very beginning of time. We learned when Paul visited Athens that he said their religion was vain and that they were worshiping in ignorance. Now that, my friends, will not allow us to be pleasing in the sight of God. And so because of that, we want to seek out the pure religion. We want to know exactly what God commands and do it. So, as Paul, who had persecuted the church previously, finally learns the truth, he says, now you knew of my religion in the past, but that's not the religion that'll save, and it is not the religion by which I can go to heaven, but I believe the religion the Lord has brought, by His divine word proclaimed, is that which I must obtain mercy for and through. And so it is today. Pure religion indicates there is an impure religion, and we don't want to be a part of that. Therefore, we want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of life. We need to keep the church that's in the world, but we need to keep the world out of the church. You know, once Jesus built His church, and He did so, Matthew 16:18, He intended that it would be in the world to the end of time. He said in the Great Commission, go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. But you see, He made no provision here for the world to invade the church. He does not want the world and its thinking in His church. The worldly church destroys Christian religion on earth, my friends. And that's what makes denominational bodies. Have you ever stopped to ask, how is it that we have over 300 to 500 different religious bodies in the world when we only have one Bible? When we only have one Lord? When that one Bible and that one Lord proclaims one faith? Not many. But my friends, men today seem to think they don't have to prove all things, nor hold fast that which is good. You know, in 1 John 4:1, John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit or teacher, but prove the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, false prophets make false religion. Pure prophets and pure teaching makes pure religion. Pure religion is not something you catch, nor is it something that you get, but it is something that you do. Notice that in James 1:27. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this. Not something else, but this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, we do not want the world in the church. You see, the church is the called out body of people that in which they're separated from the world of sin and rebellion. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Well, we want to be the church that the Lord wants us to be. And to be that, we've got to follow the Bible which the Lord has given us. The Apostle Paul urged saints in Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the vocation wherewith you were called." Paul wanted his brethren to live up to their obligations in the church, didn't he? And to put it forth very clearly, he said in Colossians 1:10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, being all fruitful in all good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Well, maybe he best said it in these words of Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation or manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." My friends, that means living in such a way that our lives will adorn the gospel. And in Paul's words of Romans 12:1-2, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service." Watch this now. "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We know the church is in the world. The Lord built it. The Lord purchased it with his blood. But he does not want the world in the church. Pure religion will not allow it. So here, when he says pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, we want it to continue in the world. You see, the crown of righteousness isn't given during the race. No, rather we're told, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life," Revelation 2:10. When he knew that he was approaching the end of his life, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. And not unto me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. What a glorious prospect awaits the pure and the undefiled. But the other side of the coin is this: "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." 2 Peter 2:21. Oh, how we should strive always to practice pure and undefiled religion. You know, throughout the years of our religious history, men have held on to the false idea that one church is just as good as another. Have you heard that, my friends? Yet even today, it's hard to speak to someone outside the church and not hear the expression, "One church is as good as another." Well, is one religion as good as another? Is there a pure religion and an impure religion? You know, people have held to this idea for various reasons. Sometimes the reasons are because of a loved one or a friend who may have even died in some denominational body. And so because of this and their sadness toward this person's death, they reject what the Bible says for what they feel. They cannot stand, my friends, to think of anybody being lost. Well, I must say that I sympathize with that thought. I don't like to think of anyone lost either. I can't help but think, as I read our newspapers and the obituary sections, how sad it is that we didn't reach more people with the gospel of Christ, where they might follow and practice pure and undefiled religion. Sometimes it's simply because People enjoy the idea of being able to believe things which tend to justify their own thinking and their own actions. But since we learned in the beginning of this study that Cain and Abel made it very clear that one was pleasing and one was not, both of them worshipped, but one of them worshipped according to the truths of what God had taught. The other did not. One was pure. One was undefiled. The other was impure and defiled. You know, whatever the reason for believing that one church is as good as another, it's not good enough because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible plainly teaches that one church is not just as good as another. And throughout Bible history, it can be clearly shown that God has always chosen one way to do things. And that way is right. It's the pure way. It's the undefiled way. And understanding this concept, my friends, will help us to understand the belief that one church is not just as good as another. You know, in the beginning, for instance, God planted a garden in Eden. God placed man and the first woman in that garden, and told man that he should eat of every herb and every tree with the exception of one. But of the tree, he said in Genesis 2:17, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, was one tree just as good as another in that garden, my friend? Let's ask that question and answer it. Absolutely not. No one, even today, I don't believe, would argue that one tree was really as good as another, nor that it really did not matter if man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or not. You know, and I know, too, that this was the one tree which stood between life and death. And no other tree stood in such a position as that. Well, let's go on a little bit further to Genesis 6. There we find, beginning verse 1, Noah was told to build an ark. Noah was told to build two or three or more arks? No, he was told to build just one. Well, what if Noah had built two arks? Could a man have been saved in just any ark? Let's say there were some other little boats around. My friends, would it have been all right to get in any boat, or would it have to be the ark? Oh, you say, that's foolishness. Of course it would have to have been in the ark, commanded by God, directed by God, built by Noah by faith. Yes, my friend, you're right. You see, no salvation was offered in any other ark except the one that Noah built by the commandment of God. Now, if that's as easy as it seems to be, then why can we not understand the same thing when the Lord built one church? You know, had other people of Noah's day built another ark, it would have sunk. When the flood came, it would not have floated. Salvation would not have been enjoyed in any other ark than the one that Noah built, because that's where God placed salvation. In Numbers 21, the people had sinned against God, as you recall. They asked Moses to pray to the Lord that he would take the serpents away, which were biting them and causing them to die. They had been murmuring and complaining against God. God told Moses this simple formula: make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. And Moses, the Bible says, made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. Well, now let me ask you some questions about this. What if the people had built another serpent? What if they had put another serpent upon a pole? Maybe it was even of brass. Or it may have been of another metal. And they looked upon it, and they said, now look, one is as good as another. Would it have saved them? My friends, I think we know the answer. It would not. They would have died from the bite of the serpents. You see, God offered only one way to Noah to be saved, and all people had to enter that way or be lost. And God offered, of course, only one serpent to look upon in Numbers 21 in order for men to be saved from the snake bites. God offered only one way for his children in the day of Moses. Well, likewise, Jesus said that he would build his church. Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee, that is the apostles, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he did not say that he would build one of many, but rather he said one. upon this rock I will build my church. And this he did. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, after his death, burial, and resurrection, that church was established. You know, it was said in Mark 9 and verse 1, there be some of you standing here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom come with power. Well, it came with power on the day of Pentecost. As the apostles have the Holy Spirit come upon them, the power also comes upon them by which they can work these miracles and by miraculous power teach the gospel, and they taught it to all men. And in a harmony with that great commission, Acts 2:41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. In verse 47, to added unto them simply means added to the church. He said they were added to that one church which Jesus had said he would build. Well, we're told by the Apostle Paul that there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Oh, do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe there is one body or many bodies? Do you believe there is one church or many churches? Now, notice what Paul says. There is one body. He continues to write another letter. In Colossians 1:18, he put it this way. He said, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Hence, the one body of Ephesians 4:4 is the one church of Colossians 1:18. And therefore, if there is only one body, and the body is the church, then there can be only one church. Oh, but somebody said, I don't like that. Well, my friends, whether you like it or not, it's true. Some man said, but that would tear up all that we've done. Well, my friends, why do you want to go to a lost condition in a situation the Lord has not made? We're to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. Our Lord himself said in Matthew 15:13, every plant or teaching which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Well, when we find people counting beads in worship, when we find them bowing down to images, when we find them making one man the Pope, when we find them burning incense, or when we find them doing a host of other things that are not found commanded in the Bible, do you suppose that's what the Lord had reference to when he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up? No, men cannot be saved by impure religion. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, my friends, Jesus offers salvation in the one true church, just like he offered salvation in the one true ark. And he is not going to alter his plan because you do not like it or because you will not accept it. He will one day come back for his body, the Bible says. And when he does, he will root the plants up which his Father did not plant, and they shall be thrown into the fire and burned, and Christ will be the Savior of his body. How do you know that? Because it says it in Ephesians 5:23. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for it. He is the Savior of the body, he said. Well, now, that doesn't seem to be hard to understand unless we just don't want to accept it, does it? No, the pure religion is there. Paul found it. You can too. Why not, my friends, come out of denominationalism that is of this world, that is of men, that's been planted by men? Why not come back to the Bible and believe only that which Jesus taught, so that your religion may be pure, so that you may be acceptable in the sight of God? You know, the only name given among men wherein we must be saved is Jesus Christ. Remember Acts 4:12? In none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. Do you believe that, my friend? There's the evidence. And you know, faith comes by this evidence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear it, don't reject it. When you hear it, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of the sins of your life. Make right the things that are wrong. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And then be buried with him in the waters of baptism to wash away your sins. I would ask you the same question asked to Saul of Tarsus this morning. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Is one church as good as another? No, not if you believe the Bible, my friends. Pure religion is that which will save your soul.